In the article, which appears under the cover story of January's Gramophone magazine, Jed Disler mentions that in your performance of
Petrushka by Igor Stravinsky,
you don't really do everything the composer says you should do. And he says that's a good thing. Because the whole point of this article, Piano's Golden Generation, is that younger pianists, you, I think, foremost of all of them, realize that the performer is just as important as the thing being performed, in essence, which is kind of a throwback to the 19th century, when everybody knew that that was true.
More individuals.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I just remember learning the Petrushka rather than the real piano score. I look at the orchestral score. And then to see what the essence is. What does he really want? What color does he want? From which instrument? What character? How is Petrushka being portrayed that's like so vulnerable and adorable? And from those point of view, which is more interesting than, well, back then when I was younger, it was easier to hit all the right notes as well. So to go beyond the notes, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sure. And I don't know when it started, but I think it's slipping back into the other way. It's not quite so literal. It's not quite so the score is sacred. Because all of these guys didn't think their scores were sacred. When Mahler, for instance, said to future conductors, if you see anything that doesn't work well, change it.
I just performed John Adams' piece, and he said exactly the same thing. It's like, you're the pianist, not me. I never played the piano before.
Exactly.
Which is great. Give us a little bit of freedom.
Yes. Well, obviously, I've been joined tonight by one of the world's great pianists, Yujia Wang, who was in town for concerts with the Los Angeles Philharmonic.
Hello.
And welcome back to KUSC. And
Thank you.
Boy, have you been busy lately.
Yes.
Well, why don't we continue with something from your latest Deutsche Grammophon album, the Berlin Recital. Do you have vivid memories of this particular recital, or is it one of so many that it's kind of tough to remember?
I remember very well. It's in the middle of my recital tour, last May. I remember I had a few in America and then played in Europe throughout. And then I played in London after the Berlin recital. But I really worked for it because everything on there was new for me. I have to have new pieces coming up every year. So yeah, I really work hard at it. It's a little crazy. I had Ligeti, Scriabin, right? And then Prokofiev Eighth, I remember.
And some Rachmaninoff.
Yes. that was an easy one.
Yeah, well, it's kind of amazing that, you know, for a time, both Igor Stravinsky and Rachmaninoff lived in this town. And they never met except once at a party at Charlie Chaplin's.
Ooh.
And they didn't say a thing to each other the entire evening until toward the very end, Stravinsky said, Sergei, tell me, how much money did you earn last year? And that's all he cared about.
Oh. Yeah. At least I heard a story with Brahms. He cared about how, with Schnabel, like, did you eat well?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, first things first. First things first. So I assume Scriabin was sort of a discovery for you.
When I was 21, because my teacher told me, Gary Goffman said, it's illegal to play this until you're 21. So I came out of the cage and I just feel really at home with it. The sensuality, the colors, and also it fits the hands really well. And the philosophy that even insects, the color of the wings under the sunlight, he's definitely creating another sound world of his own.
Yeah.
Scriabin, yeah.
And structurally, it sounds very tough.
Yeah, it took me a while to understand there was a structure.
Exactly.
For me, the sonata from 6 to 10 is like one big sonata. It's a very long one, and it goes on forever.
Have you looked at any of the other sonatas?
Yes, I love his piece, the Prometheus, the symphonies, and the earlier works are just gems. They're so beautiful, very Chopin-esque. And then the middle, I like 4 and 5 as well, the sonatas. But the late ones, it has a thrill to... Someone was making fun of the trio. It's like, it's so thrilling, the trio. It has something very thrilling while playing it. it's like this atmosphere while you, I remember in this concert, I was very happy about it. Like, for some reason, I just got sucked into that sound world. And then it's not just sound, it's like this, something very sensuous. It's like touch or color, I don't know, everything that you can touch. And then you got into that feeling. It's like you're in that world, and it has something really creepy about it.
Oh, sure.
And it took a while to come out of it. And luckily, it was only Ligeti after that.
Well, also, Szymanowski, I think, is a good thing to follow this guy up with.
Yes, totally, yes.
Have you done much Szymanowski lately?
No, I know The Mask. Oh, I did play one piece with Leonidas on tour, Fountain de Hachus.
Yes, from the myths.
Yes, and we did everything we did. Actually, I can't remember what we did, but it was a huge program. But everyone seemed to remember that was an encore. Everyone seemed to remember that, and just like a splash of freshness. Yeah.
Judge Ligeti is actually three or four different composers, depending on when he wrote the pieces. Yeah, he's just, I think, one of the most consistently fascinating composers of his
Completely,
time.
Completely, yeah.
When did you start getting interested in Ligeti?
When I was in Curtis, I remember I was in Tower Records back then, not getting CDs, but reading a fascinating book about Ligeti and more about his compositions, not his life. He's like a SpongeBob, just absorbs everything that could influence and could put in his music. I don't know how to describe it. You know where it's from, like the tradition is there, but it's so Ligeti, and he made it new. It's like recycling. It's like Uniqlo. It's like recycling shirts. And I love them. And they're really nice to touch. Yes. But they're really hard to learn because basically you need like four parts of brain working simultaneously. Like to read them was such a pain to learn. Like the first one, the Disorder, not just the right hand is, they have different signatures, you know, sharp and flat from both hands are different. And then little by little, there's the shift of different meters. And then in the end, you have to put them all together and make music. Yeah, at that point, I just wish I am a machine, a math machine, and just can calculate everything and everything's precise. And just like it's written, then just like if you play just like it's written, it's great. My favorite of the Etudes was actually from my first CD, the Fanfare. And it's just something so, there's so many possibilities once you learn the notes. You know, it could be like a really nonchalant jazzy, and next time it will be super weird. Then you can do everything about it with different characters once it's in the system. But wow, the vertigo was so hard for me. It's harder in the concerts also, because it's not the usual, like, I want to be emotionally involved. It's absolutely objectified. It's absolutely the brain, not so much emotion.
And yet, you make it sound so musical, all of it.
Oh, really? Well, thank you so much.
I mean, it doesn't sound, at least to my ear, it doesn't sound mechanical or machine-like at all.
Only if you knew how I felt while playing it. I actually heard the other day, I'd never hear it because I was curious with this kind of music. What I hear is much more enjoyable when I'm not playing.
Yes. So you have to wonder how Sergei Prokofiev survived in Stalin's Russia. Mm. Number one, he was a Christian Scientist, which was, you know, really frowned upon. Number two, when he first came back, he was treated like a conquering hero coming home. Mm. And then the next year they took away his passport. And then the purge began, and many of his close friends died in it. Mm-hmm. And yet, to be able to do everything he did during the last 20 years of his life is amazing.
It is. He might have enjoyed it too.
Yeah.
Being a little masochist and very sarcastic.
He was.
That's what I like about his music, even when he was young. And thank God he was a pianist, so he knows what's possible and what's not. So it's super fun to play his music.
Yeah, the trilogy of wartime piano sonatas, 6, 7, and 8. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're as important as any piano music written by anybody in the 20th century.
Oh, completely, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And of course, Gary Graffman was a great Prokofiev pianist. Yeah. Rumor has it.
Yes, yes. Well, he certainly has the humor. Yeah, but the A Sonata kind of caught my attention by its lyricism, because usually you think of, you know, like motoric, dissonant, kind of violent, powerful, all those things associated with Prokofiev, even the war sonatas, the 6 and 7. But Ace is just the scope, the breadth. It's kind of like you see the whole landscape of Russia. The range of your vision goes further. It's like reading a German literature or something, like one phrase goes over 3 pages.
Oh, exactly.
And then in between there were some shifts of harmonies, of transitions. The transitions are so beautiful in the first one. But it's like listening to 6th and 7th symphony, which the one I remember first time heard it with the Gurdjieff recording. It was just so beautiful, so like heart-wrenching, which is not usually where you get with Prokofiev. It's like Cinderella got old, and then she's telling the story. The narration, the way it's so deep. I feel like the piece has no limit to be discovered. But I also just learned this piece. Everything's simple, but yet so complicated, you know,
sure.
Make it really poignant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting you should mention transitions, because I think one of the things that sort of characterized your work from the very beginning, you really know how to transition from one idea to the next, and which is, I think, among the toughest things in music.
Well, I do love bigger structure music. That's why I love this sonata. When the scope is so huge, it's easier to be the architect of the time and space and decide what to do with each details. Yeah, I remember looking forward to the transition of this piece. Once it gets going, it's like, eh. But the transition is so, there's something so eerie about it. Just something very untouchable. And the last few pages of the third movement, it just goes wild. It's fun to play. Still devilish. You see a little glimpse of his youth still there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And there's also in this, and you know, I think in just about everything you do, there's a species of storytelling going on as well.
Totally.
You know, you really feel that.
The sense of narration is definitely there. And that's what Russians are so good at.
They are. Yeah. Well, one of the many things they're good
right.
at. They also write pretty decent novels,
exactly.
Rumor has it.
Exactly, yeah. This could be one of those Dostoevsky novels, which has to be discovered lifetime. I felt like I just scratched the surface a bit, you know, with this piece. But they say shallowness, who said that? Shallowness becomes sublime when it's truly shallow. So...
Sounds like Stravinsky. I mean, he was famous for saying stuff like that. Yuchao Wang, always a great pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And come back soon.
I will. Thank you.